Without trust, society stagnates.
Economies decline.
And businesses fail.
My Security Media believes through security,
trust between individuals,
organisations,
and government can be maintained. Welcome to the
Cybersecurity Weekly
Podcast.
Hi, I'm Murray Morgan, and welcome to the Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast. In this interview, I talk to Bill Rue, CTO of MailGuard, a cloud web and email security firm that provides protection against cybersecurity threats, including malware, ransomware, spyware, phishing, and other malicious scams. In particular, we discuss brandjacking and how it can affect both individuals and large organizations alike. We talk about how the cyber criminals use emotion, such as fear, curiosity, and even greed to attract clicks, which gains them access to your personal information. We discuss strategies to protect your data, and Bill also recommends steps organizations can take to prevent damage to their own brand due to fallout from annoyed or even hacked customers. Now, here's Bill Rue of MailGuard. I'm here today with Bill Rue of MailGuard, and you are the CTO.
Yes, thanks, Warren. Glad to be here.
Fantastic. Now, I believe you've been here for 8 months. Your background also touches in mining and also in engineering, the areas?
So I'd spent some time with Newcrest Mining as customer engagement within their IT function.
Yes.
Prior to that, I was a technology strategist at Microsoft, and I've also was the CIO for a design firm, Hassel Architects Interior Designers.
Excellent. So as far as CTOs go, that's quite a wide range of industries that you've been in, which is probably a good position to be in right now here at MailGuard, which is a product, you know, the product offering does cover every aspect, every industry.
No, absolutely, Murray. So I find I do draw on that experience quite a lot across the different industries because criminals don't pick a particular niche.
Yes.
Some will go very hard after a particular group or a particular area or target a particular company.
Yeah.
But the issue with cyber criminal or cyber criminal behaviour is it's across the board. It can be someone focusing on your mum and dad organisation right through to your large multinationals.
Yeah, absolutely. And today I wanted to specifically talk about one type of attack that can affect both the groups, the large organisations and the mum and pop type organisations, and that is about brandjacking and using brands, emails with heavily branded Australian brands like your Telstras and your Westpacs and your Myobs and so on, and convincing whether it be someone at work who's paying an AGL electricity bill for the company or someone at home like my dad who has a Telstra account. And the sophistication of brandjacking today, because I think that one thing that I've learned from reading a lot of your blogs and Craig McDonald's blogs is that it is a very sophisticated market and it seems to know the Australian psyche very well.
Yeah, there's definitely a focus on picking particular brands that seem to have the most reach.
Yes.
So what they'll do is they'll actually look at, and the idea is, and what we talk about is the criminal intent.
Yes.
So the criminal intent is to try and get the best bang for buck. So they're going to choose a brand that's well known. So, for example, they'll pick one of the major carriers, Telstra, Optus, and they'll say, okay, well, this is what is coming through for them.
Yeah.
And the idea is that everyone has got a relationship of some type with Telstra through their history.
Sure.
So it's one that, you know, they've got pretty good penetration.
Yeah.
Similarly with our utilities. We don't have hundreds of utilities, so they'll pick AGL or United or whatever it might be to try and get more Origin. And just to really get that cut through. So even if it's not you, you might still click on it to say, well, why have I got this?
Mm.
And the other part with that, and the brandjacking has increased its sophistication because they have got a fantastic set of brands to work with.
Yeah.
It's a marketer's dream in reverse.
Yes, yes.
Because they can actually go and say, look at what I've got to work with, but I don't have the fallout of having to worry about what the result is.
Yeah.
All I want to do is either install this piece of malware and cause some damage.
Yeah.
Or I capture your identity, or I capture your credentials, and I can actually now go into your bank account.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, perhaps we'll take a step back and talk about what it is that brandjacking is, because it seems to be a relatively new term, and yet there's been hoax emails since the day the internet was invented.
Mm.
So describe a typical brandjacking email that might come into your inbox.
So depending on the sophistication, some of these are relatively, what I would consider relatively poor.
Yeah.
They might be misspelled, it might be copy and paste of a particular brand or an image off a particular website, and all they're trying to do is just give you a sense of, okay, this is an email from that organisation, please give me your information or reply to this particular email.
Yeah.
Right through to some which are a lot more sophisticated. And when I say a lot more sophisticated, they've gone to the level where they've actually set up a full website, and the whole idea of their email and the brand checking of the email is to take you to that hosted website.
Yeah.
Where they're actually pulling through all the details and the correct information from the website.
Yeah.
But the piece that they actually want to cause damage with is the only piece on that website that might be actually malicious.
Yes.
So the idea is the brand jacking moniker that we use is really saying, okay, well, how do we take the brands we know and trust?
Yeah.
And how do we leverage those to try and get that last little bit of information out of you?
Yeah.
That's going to be that malicious intent.
And that last information will be like a PIN number of your credit card or your password for your your account.
Correct.
That they're trying
it could be as simple as your username and password.
Yeah.
In a personal scenario, it might be the username and password of your internet banking site.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can then use that.
Yeah.
Some of the brand jacking can actually be a lot more targeted, and it might be after a particular organisation where they're going and targeting an organisation as part of the supply chain.
Yeah.
So they're actually using some of those brands as part of the supply chain as well.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Now, I find it fascinating that these people, probably not based in Australia, but they're outside, coming in using brands that we love and use and household names. Does Australian culture, being a very trusting culture, make it easier for people, these criminals?
I'm not 100% sure if it's more around the Australian psyche as such, but it definitely plays on that curiosity. I talked through an example recently with some particular clients, and it was one purporting to be the AFP.
Yep.
And the scenario was, okay, well, here's the brand, it's AFP. However, it was being delivered by Australian Post, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a subpoena for speeding.
Yeah, Australian Federal Police, for those not based in Australia on this podcast. Yeah.
Very good point. Thanks, Warren. So the whole thing was to try and generate that emotional response.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about two examples. One is my daughter, one is my mother.
Yeah.
Okay, my mother would probably look at it and go, I would never believe that because I'm not used to it and that's not what I want. However, my daughter, she'd go, well, what have I done?
Yes.
And the whole idea is to get that emotional response, click the button, and bang.
Yeah. Information's sent and it begins.
Yeah. And it really is trying to generate that. So some of them might be around, how do I generate fear? Some of them are still the old greed, okay, the Nigerian prince.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have seen past that. So now they've moved on to, well, how do I use something that I think that they will trust to get that through? So it tends to be, okay, the fear, or it might be curiosity.
True.
And maybe that's part of the psyche which they might be trying to tap into.
Yes, yes. I think you're right. In terms of fear, my father recently got hit by not a brand... Well, it was brand jacking, but it was via the phone.
Yeah.
And it was a Telstra brand jacking. And he did everything he... Well, I'm about to ask you, what can we do? But he actually asked for a email to confirm their identity. And they did send an email. And I caught up with him afterwards. He was a little embarrassed about the whole event, of course. And he showed me the email, which he'd printed out. It was written by John Connor. Now, those of you who are techies in this will know that John Connor is who the Terminator was trying to kill in the movies, or the Terminator was trying to save in the second one. And I saw that immediately, and being my age, early 40s, was like, John Connor, ha ha ha, that's clearly a joke.
Yeah.
Someone in India, for example, picking on India, but has gone, oh, what's a common name? John Connor sounds perfect, sounds very suitable for a Western culture. Unfortunately, my dad in his mid-70s didn't... That alarm didn't come up.
Because he wasn't familiar, didn't understand.
No. So what can they do? What can people do? What can I tell my dad to do? And your daughter?
Yeah, well, what I would definitely do is don't actually use the details that are in the email. So if you're not sure, and if they're a brand that you trust, and for example, I received one from ANZ, and the first thing that they say is, we will never ask you to log in. We will tell you that we've got updated information, and we will expect you to go to the site that you trust and you know and log in with your details. Don't click something within here. So there is a level of sophistication which is being forced upon those brands to actually respond.
Yes.
And they're doing a great job from that perspective. What they're not able to control is what these other marketers, the the criminal marketers are actually then putting in there to try and generate that response.
Yeah.
So what I always do is I try and say, okay, well, if you do receive something and it does elicit that emotional response, ask why. Okay.
Yeah.
Step back and if you can, if you look at it and go, what are they asking me to do?
Yeah.
Because if you click on the link, it might open up a website or
yeah.
it might have already gone directly to the site.
Yes.
The other thing you can do is in a lot of the modern browsers, you can actually see the links and you can hover over those and see where they're sending you.
Yes.
Now, not to pick on AGL, but we did see one of the criminal groups come through and they had registered AGL-net domain name.
Yep.
As part of their naming structure.
Yeah, right.
If I go back to my mother's example, she wouldn't know that's not AGL.com.
Yeah, no.
So, again, trying to understand, well, if you are having a relationship with an organisation, and it's an organisation that you trust, be familiar with what is valid.
Yes.
And know how to get there without actually being led there by somebody else.
Mm.
So that's definitely one tip I would start with.
Yeah, that's good. And on the other side of the coin, the brands, the trusted brands. I mean, look, Telstra is a very big brand, it's got lots of money to throw at the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Smaller brands, perhaps, that are trying to get set up, like a Myob, for example, or a
mm-hmm.
Or a Xero. Yep. You know, they're doing fantastic things around the world, but they're still a relatively small company comparative to one of our banks.
Yep.
What can they do? Because as soon as, say, Xero gets hit and people start thinking negatively about Xero, it affects their brand as well.
Yes, and it definitely does. And I know it's something, having looked in and worked with those organisations in the past, and they do have processes in place that if they do get calls into their call centre and they
yeah.
know that something is happening, they'll actually respond and say, no, that is not valid. And that's actually another really good tip for anyone who isn't sure.
Yep.
Actually, don't use the details inside the email, but actually contact them using their publicly available contact details.
Yeah, yeah.
So go through, and actually, if you unsure, depending on the age, like your mum
yes.
or your dad,
yeah.
Actually call and speak to someone at that organisation.
Right.
But don't use the links or the phone details inside the email.
Yeah, that's
the smaller organisations, and you know, we're talking about Xero and MYB as examples here, they definitely can respond.
Yeah.
Now, one of the challenges is, do they then go back and email people, say, please ignore the email?
Yeah.
Because then it's just sort of perpetuating.
Yeah.
The other part is, as part of their ongoing behaviour and then their FAQs, and
yep.
they do have some great collateral around this,
mm-hmm.
is saying, okay, this is how we would engage with you.
Yep.
If you see anything else, please contact us, please let us know.
Yep.
And they do have ways where if you do get a suspicious email, you can send it to them.
Yep.
And then they can evaluate that.
Yeah.
Or organisations like ourselves.
Yep, absolutely. Well, who are the culprits? I mean, are some of these state-sponsored culprits? Are we talking North Korea trying to gain money to help with their nuclear campaigns?
And look, the answer is it's the full gamut.
Yes.
Okay, so obviously there's some very public information where people have attributed certain campaigns to the state-sponsored, and that's great, and I'm glad that they've done that because it makes it a lot easier to have those conversations.
Right.
But it does go from the curious, interested, and what we call the script kiddies, where they can buy something very simple
yep.
and they can learn how to use it and they'll send that out. We reject a lot of what we call malformed spam or phishing or
yep.
attempts at trying to get that criminal
yep.
intent
yep.
because they just haven't got it right.
Yep.
But there are those that are very sophisticated, highly organised, well-trained, with a lot of resources,
yep.
Criminal gangs.
Yeah.
Criminal gangs, criminal organisations, and they're the ones which you can tell the quality and the difference.
True. And some of them are hunting, for example, cryptocurrency and hunting down people's wallets on their accounts. So there's
absolutely
an actual monetary value, not just access to a potential bank account, but the actual value itself.
And the one that I thought was very novel, most recently, and someone sent us a photo, I might have come through on Twitter,
yeah.
a photo of a retail-branded screen,
yes.
Showing different images,
yeah.
and it popped up and it showed them WannaMine, which is a way where they've installed a piece of malware which is going to mine cryptocurrency using someone else's infrastructure.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
Yeah, right. Which isn't, I guess you would say, it's a benign disease on your computer, but it would slow it down.
Definitely slow it down.
Yeah.
And you also don't know what else has been installed as part of that.
Okay.
What else are they doing? So sometimes it is literally just to get a piece of information. I actually want to know that you've responded.
Yeah.
And then it steps up in escalation. So it can go through to, I want your personal details.
Yeah.
I want your credit card details. I want your username and password or username and PIN,
yeah.
right through to I actually want access to your network,
mm.
because from you, Maury, I can get to your boss, and from your boss, I can get to the finance system, and from the finance system, I can actually do a lot of interesting things on behalf of the company.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's a big strategic, very organized crime in that sense. Absolutely. So the legal recourse for people or organizations that do get caught in some kind of branding, in some kind of brand jacking, on a personal level, I didn't pay my electricity bill on time because I kept getting this spam. So I blocked it, and anything with AGL got blocked, and then I didn't get the warning and the second warning, and I then got an extra fine on top of my bill. So that was a fine to me, not a lot of money, but I got it back eventually. I convinced them that it was it was hacking.
In good faith.
It was good faith. They did a very good job in that sense. But is there legal recourse if you do get your, you know, your bank details and your bank gets stripped out?
And I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. But what I would recommend is that you contact whoever's been involved as quickly as possible, because I do know that they do have teams that deal with that.
Yeah.
And depending on what it is, I have had conversation with certain organisations where payments have been able to be stopped or been able to reverse. Similar to yourself, when people put fraudulent claims through on credit cards.
Yeah.
So it's a similar sort of process. As soon as you become aware, or even if you are suspicious, sometimes that's the time where you need to actually get onto it.
That's true, that's true. And I guess it's good that credit cards expire as well. And, you know, if they've been taking 50 cents a day off for the last, you know, 5 years, at least that comes to an end.
Yeah, absolutely. and sometimes it's those small transactions that you don't notice.
You don't notice that at all. Yeah. Well, that's perfect. Well, Bill, Rue, thank you very much for your time. As CTO of MailGuard, and very valuable information. I go to your blog, the MailGuard blog, quite a lot, also via LinkedIn, and keep up to date. And also on Twitter, Craig McDonald's Twitter account's very busy.
Yes.
He's always got some new scam going on where he's reporting on, obviously not involved with, but trying to stop, which is what MailGuard does. So thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Brian.